All right, hey, I want to bring in the Commissioner of Education for the state of New Hampshire, Frank Edelblue. He's been a great contributor and help, you know, being available for us as we get back to school, even before we had him on a few weeks ago. Now that school's back underway in the state, how's it going overall, Commissioner?
Good morning, Jack. It is going well. We're not all back. We have some schools that are going to be starting next Tuesday. But as you point out, we do have a lot of students that are back in school right now, and things are going well for us.
Now, in general, are there, you know, are some of the, there was a lot of, as you, last time you were on, there was a lot of difference between the local school districts on policies, and a lot of more, you know, parents were trying to connect with school boards. You were getting a lot of calls on questions at your office, actual phone calls, some parents feeling, you know, whether they were part of the process or not. In general, things quieted down?
So there is still a lot of conversation that's taking place in communities across the state, but it is beginning to slow down in terms of, you know, moving forward. A lot of those policy decisions have been settled, and individuals are now back in the classroom, and we're moving forward. And really, the approach that we have taken throughout this is recognizing that, you know, our individual communities are in very different places. You know, you take a school perhaps in one of our more urban areas. Maybe they've got, you know, some difficulty with the ability to socially distance, or they've got difficulty in terms of their air handling systems. And so they may need to do some type of protocols. And then you've got maybe another district that's got a state-of-the-art air handling system and a lot of space in their building. And so they maybe should have some different protocols. And so what we've really done is try to provide guidance principally through Health and Human Services. So it's our public service or our public health type guidance. To allow schools to be able to craft a plan that makes sense for their communities. And that's the approach that we've used, and it seems to have been working.
Do you, Commissioner Edelblue, do you have any points you want to get out there this morning? Any observations to make over the next few weeks, or what do you want people to know? I mean, it sounds like it is going, sounds like school's underway. I have my own theories on how the fall's going to go, but it seems like the students are back for in-person learning. I hope that's how it stays. But any general, you know, any comments or things you want to get out there?
Yeah, so the one thing that I would encourage families to think about is if you have a child who is sick, it's probably better not to send them to school. We know that whether it is COVID or it is just the seasonal flu, if the kids are with one another and they're ill, they're probably going to be transmitting something. So better if you have a child who is sick, that you keep them out of that learning environment until they're feeling a little bit better and so they can come back. We had a great exemplar of that this week, you know, by our governor who was feeling a little bit ill, had some symptoms, and so, you know, stayed home, stayed out of that environment and didn't share that cold with everybody in the state. And that's a great exemplar for all of our families across New Hampshire relative to their children to make sure that we're not spreading the viruses unnecessarily, whether that's COVID or whether that's our seasonal cold.
Unrelated to any of the protocols, I noticed the there's been some chatter on vouchers in a general term, and we've had a lot of people on the show talking about these educational financial grants available to some families that if you want to move your kid to a school system within your area that is more suitable to his or her needs. But some people are saying, you know, vouchers are, you know, bad for the system or any. It seems like, Commissioner, and I'm not pointing to the NEA in New Hampshire directly, but I guess I am a little bit. Anything that's innovative or out of the box seems to be viewed by some as a threat to public education. Can you comment on that?
I would be happy to comment on that. And so specifically relative to the education freedom accounts, and this is a program that we put in place to really help individuals find an instructional environment that works for them. You know, if you think about, you know, the world these days, everything, whether it's molecular medicine or, you know, home meal delivery, we've customized everything. Education seems to still be a little bit more homogenized. So trying to move past that and create educational pathways for each individual child. And what's really interesting is many times the critics, when they talk about this, they use lines like it's going to devastate public school or it's going to cost the taxpayers millions of dollars. And truthfully, these are just tired old lines that they have been using for decades at this point in time, right? Like if you go back in 2006, we started our charter school program and we were told that charter schools were going to ruin public education, when in fact they fill a really important niche here in New Hampshire and serve students' needs that otherwise might not be fed or met. We got the Children's Scholarship Fund. Again, in 2012 that came in, and we were told that it was going to cost us $126 million. Turns out that's not true. And it turns out that this is a program that helps a very diverse group of students that are economically disadvantaged. So 600 students are finding an education pathway. And so it's really what you think about is education freedom accounts are about helping families find educational pathways that work for their individual students. And the finances are really not that complicated either, and they benefit the actual taxpayers of New Hampshire. You know, if you think about a typical year in one of our K-12 schools costs the taxpayers about $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Through the Education Freedom Account, what happens is we take $5,000 of those dollars, which are the amount that the state is contributing for that education, and we let the families decide how they're going to use that in the education of their children, and the $15,000 stays in the district to be able to be used for those students who remain in that district. So you have more spending available for the students in the district as the families choose these programs. So really, it's a program that everybody can win with. And the thing that oftentimes I find amazing is we act like this is something different or something new, when in fact, you know, programs like this have been around in other states since the 1990s. Again, we've had them in our own state since 2012 with our Children's Scholarship Program. And it's been studied a lot, and we know that it benefits students. We know that it benefits public schools, and we know that it benefits taxpayers.
It seems that is it about controlling money that some people just don't like when you make things innovative and out of the box? Is it a controlling interest thing? I don't understand it, because I think innovation is not only needed at the primary and secondary level. I think our colleges need to wake up. I think many of our universities and colleges in this state, in this region and country, need to realize changes that are underway and look at, you know, I don't even like the fact that we've taken some of the trades out of public education at a young age. And I think shaking up education is always a good thing. Why do some people get threatened by that?
Well, Jack, we are creatures of habit, right? So we like things the way they've always been, and we get used to it, and we're comfortable with that. So whenever you change something, it makes people a little bit uncomfortable. And our job really as leaders in the state here and leaders in the education system is to help the system move forward, help everybody embrace these changes, recognizing that the world is moving on and we need to move on with that so we can better serve all of our students in our system and not leave students behind. I mean, we've got decades of data that tells us that not all kids are served well by the system that we have. And I'll give you another example of this. If you recall, we had a program, Learn Everywhere, that we put in place. We have moved forward with that, and we got a lot of concern over that, a lot of people saying, like, again, some of these same tired old talking points that it was going to cost a lot of money and ruin everything. Turns out it hasn't. It's helping a lot of students. But if you look across the country today, that Learn Everywhere program is also being implemented in 12 other states. So we just happen to be the first state to do it, and now the other states are like, oh, okay, we can do this. This is good for children. It's good for education. So it's tough to be the first mover in something like that. But when, and people are used to the status quo and they're comfortable with it, mm-hmm. So we just have to help everybody move forward.
Frank Edelblue, Commissioner of Education for the state of New Hampshire, thank you so much for an update on Back to School and some
happy to join you.
Other programs available for parents and students. Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, bye, Jack.